Praise God Almighty. Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Please take your seats. If you have a Bible with you, will you open them to, let's have a look, 2 Peter. I was reading it and then I forgot to write it down. Do you ever get that way where God's speaking to you and you get so excited and then you forget where it was? And so let's just have some music in the meantime. Oh, there it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 9. Praise the living God. I want to speak to you today about weak Christianity. Weak Christianity. There's something I still see in the body of Christ. I still see traces of it occasionally. And, you know, the Lord has given me a kind of attacking spirit. I don't know much about defending, but I know how to attack. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. Attack, Pastor P, attack. Good. Thank you for your permission. Good. Wonderful. I'm in the right place. Praise God. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. And if I could have it on the screens, guys, in the King James, please. The King James. Do you like my tie today? My tie is Bless the Nation of Israel Day tie right there. Blue and white like the Nation of Israel. Because I don't know if you know, in London there's a demonstration today and loads of Israel haters are going to be out on the street. And I wanted to go down and raise money for the thing that we're doing in Judea and Samaria. But they warned me on grounds of security not to go down and raise funds. So do avoid central London this afternoon. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's a lot of haters out there from both sides. And we need to just stay wise and go to the park or something and sit under a tree and sunbathe. That's what I'm planning on. Can you tell I'm planning on doing that? Also, a great big thank you, guys, once again, to those of you who went down to that fire disaster to Grenfell Tower to give out food and to help with people and to help organize as well. Our building fund offering today, and particularly you guys that are watching by Facebook Live as well, our building fund offering today is going to go down to the victims of that. That one of the churches that has been instrumental... One of the churches that's been instrumental in the distribution of aid, food, giving places to stay and pastoral support has been Kensington Temple, out of which this church was birthed back in the early 90s. And what we're going to do is when we've raised our building fund, we're going to send the entirety of it down to KT and they can distribute it as they see fit to the victims' families. So thank you in advance for that. And the reason I mentioned Facebook Live, if you go on our website, harvestchurch.org.uk, you can click the donate button and you can participate in that. And when it says remarks under the comments thing, just note that you want it to go for the victims of Grenfell Tower and we'll make sure that that gets there. Praise the living God. Now, who are we? I love this. There's something about certain verses in the King James that really do me good. Do you know that kind of way? There's certain, you know, like the King James Version is all thee, thou, and thus, and thy, and all that kind of stuff. And so I kind of tend to avoid that one. But there's other translations. Then when I see a particular verse, I just love it. And this is one of those. You are a chosen generation. Who am I, Pastor P? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? Look at your neighbor and tell them, Yeah. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I just absolutely love that particular piece of scripture. Now, that's who we are. In Isaiah chapter 52... I want to share something about who we are under the everlasting covenant. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 1. I hope I wrote that down today because it was Father's Day and I was distracted with all the gifts that my children gave me. It was so wonderful and kind of them. Yet this is it. And in the King James as well, this is another one I like in the King James. It says, awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy. Can you see how close Jerusalem is to the heart of God? It's a strategic, in fact, the Bible calls it the center of the earth. Isn't that interesting? That Jerusalem, that this city is called the center of the earth. And he says, awake, awake, oh, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come into thee uncircumcised and the unclean. Carry on. Shake yourself from the dust. Now, okay, if somebody says, awake, awake, what does that mean that the person is? They're asleep. Okay. So it tells, that this scripture tells us the state that the person is in, right? And then he says, shake yourself from the dust. So it also tells them where they are. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Verse 3. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourself for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore what I have here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for naught, that they rule over them and make them howl, says the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Wow. They shall know my name, that I am the Lord. You know, whenever you read that, particularly in the Old Covenant, you just know that something is going to kick off. It's like, you know, they don't know my name, but now my jacket's off and my sleeves are rolled up and I'm getting ready to rumble and people are going to know my name. Hallelujah. There's something about the warrior in God that he likes to see reflected in his people. Now, the Bible says that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. So it's not a flesh and blood fight, but it is a spiritual fight. It's called the good fight of faith. It's a good fight because we win. So all you have to do is keep fighting. And in fact, if you look at that scripture, right, not only is this fighter asleep, but he's also horizontal. And he's in the dust. And he's saying, awake, awake, get up, get up. It's like a Rocky movie. Do you ever watch those? It's like, I saw this cartoon where they're taking the mic, you know, about looking into the future in 100 years. And somebody was cycling past a cinema. And it said, showing today, Rocky 120. You know, because there was Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, and all that kind of thing. It's like that. Now that's what I call music. Hey! I was joking with my kids when I said, I bet you any money soon they'll be like, now that's what I call music, 102. And it's like, what is it now, 81 or something? I'm old enough to remember now that's what I call music 1. And it was pretty rubbish then. But like, God only knows what's on it now, you know? I mean, according to my taste, of course. I'm sure some people like it. But there's this fight and there's this tendency. There's this tendency for the body of Christ to lull back into comfort and to lull back into ease and just, you know, to take it easy. I used to know some, in fact, I used to work with them in Ireland, some people from the traveler community. And they used to say, you know, be welcome me into their homes and stuff like that. And, you know, the big, like, thick accent, come in. Come in, Paul. Have a seat. He says, drink a little wine, smoke a little hash, sniff a little glue. In other words, make yourself comfortable, you know. Not sure that that was my idea of comfort, but that was the thing. And we have that tendency to gravitate to what's comfortable, to gravitate to what's easy. That if there's a challenge, we're going to avoid the challenge. Do you know what I'm saying? And there's something about the Word of God and the way it challenges us to fight. And it's not that we're fighting other people, guaranteed. I mean, we have to fight ideologies. We have to fight strongholds of the enemy. That's what we're called to do. Our fight isn't a defensive fight. It's an offensive fight. Let me prove it to you. Let me borrow two big dudes, Terry and Joel. Yeah. Now, this is for the purposes of illustration only, right? Okay. Now, let's presume, in all love and reverence and honor, because they're bigger than me, as you can see, that these guys are the gates of hell. Right? For the purposes of illustration only, that's why I said it, and I disclaimed myself, etc., etc., that these guys are the gates of hell. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Now, you see, the gates of hell aren't moving. They're static, right? So the only way for the gates of hell to prevail against us is if we're not breaking through them. Do you get what I'm saying? Gates don't move. Gates stay still. They stay in the place. That's why they're gates. They're defending something. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. In other words, when you're breaking through the gates of hell to win souls out of hell, those gates won't prevail against you. You see, many Christians believe that somehow that these gates are moving and it's like the advance of the gates of hell. The gates don't move. Gates are there to protect what's inside, not what's outside. Do you understand what I mean? So our default in fighting the good fight of faith is to break through and get the people the other side of the gates. Does that make sense? Can you clap for these guys? Thank you, guys. Take your seats. So this is what God is saying. He says, right, wake up the mighty men. Look at this scripture again now. Joel chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 9. You see, there's a time for war, right? I was sitting with my children in Hatfield Galleria, and it was the Saturday before the Monday. In fact, my son Ben is on one of the cameras. You can ask him, and I'm sure he'll nod his head if you point one at him. We were sat there Saturday lunchtime in Hatfield Galleria, and I said to my children, I said, guys, I feel like there's another attack coming against us, like the UK, the nation. I said, in the next 48 hours, I said, it's either like, it's between Monday and Wednesday, right? Now, this is the Saturday afternoon, right? Between the Monday and Wednesday. And I said, the trouble is, in my spirit now, I said, there's so many of these things coming in the realm of the spirit, because they're like, when I sense these things are coming, they're like clouds gathering. That's what it's like. It's like a darkness gathering, right? And I said to my children, I said, there's so many of these coming. I said, I can't even tell now whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Europe. I said, but I know that there's one coming, a big one, between Monday and Wednesday. Monday night, boom, this bomb goes off in Manchester Arena. Now, you think what's happened in between that time and now, and the turmoil that we've suffered. And you see, I remember this in 2005. You remember the 7/7 bombing, and you know the story about the countdown I had in my spirit, and then 21/7 when I texted all my team and told them to pray half nine in the morning, and then by half one in the afternoon, somebody had texted me saying that they've tried it again, except their bombs failed. You remember that? Now, that time as well was a season of war. You see, there's a time for the body of Christ to rise up, take its jacket off, and roll up its sleeves and get ready to rumble in the realm of the spirit. A time of concerted spiritual warfare where you gather, you make declarations like the wicked of... You remember that one where I was having dinner down in Sussex with a serious member of the intelligence community. And I told them, I said, now the nature of attack against Britain is going to change. I said, it's no longer this kind of backpack bomb. I said, the thing has changed in the spirit, because the Lord showed me a black 4x4 loaded up with explosives, ready to, you know, destroy something or other. And that was 6 weeks before that guy drove the 4x4 into Edinburgh Airport. And I told them beforehand. You see, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall take of what is mine and give it to you, and he will show you things to come. So God can show you things to come, both good and bad. You know, there's things that God's shown me that were good I didn't know what to do with. I remember we were praying here, and in fact, it was Auntie Ruth's brother, Robert Ampiokwofi, was doing our all night. Do you remember that? And he was talking about, if the foundations be shaken, what can the righteous do? Do you remember that time? We were walking up and down here, and as I live and breathe, I was walking up here, and boom, all of a sudden, I saw this building that I knew looked like a bank headquarters. And I saw a wrecking ball come and spank that bank, literally, and the thing crumbled, and 90% of it was gone, right? Now, I didn't know what to do with that information, because I didn't know how to short stocks like that. Lord, if I did, hey, mommy, I would have been intensely rich. I mean, not just rich, intensely rich. Because within weeks, the Royal Bank of Scotland dropped. And if I'd prayed into that thing, because I saw the color marble of the bank, you know, the marble cladding they have in these bank walls, and I would have known, my goodness, that's RBS. Short that sucker. I didn't know what to do with that information. But you know, it can come around again. I've seen it before. By God's grace, I'll see it again. Amen. Hallelujah. Why not? You see, why would God only show us bad things? It's like people who see demons all the time. Oh, Pastor P, I got up this morning and there was a gigantic demon in my fridge. And it's like, well, maybe you didn't turn on your air conditioning. That's why he was trying to stay cool. I've met people, and it's what, like, and you just fancy saying to them, look, put on your strength. The Bible says you'll cast out the devil, not the devil will cast you out. When is the last time a devil casted out a member of the body of Christ? Never. It's when you're not, it's when you don't know who you are, that then you're afraid of these things. The moment you know who you are and you stand in your authority, the Bible says you can rebuke nations. Nations. I mean, not just demons, but nations. Wow. That's a game changer. Praise the living God. Touch your neighbor and tell him. In fact, no, we'll do it Ibby style. Slap your neighbor gently and tell him it's time to awake. It's time to stir up the mighty man. It's time to make serious declarations in the name of Jesus. And I remember that thing for Edinburgh Airport, and the Lord gave me that scripture. I remember that thing, and I stood there and I said, the wicked have bent their bows and sharpened their arrows for destruction. But their swords shall enter their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. And there wasn't a single injury except the two idiots that drove the thing into the airport. One of them burned to death. Like, horrible. Horrible. What a way to go. And I was thinking, you know, it's all about the software that we put into us. You see, the hardware is the person. You can get a raw hardware person. I can inject software that tells you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, plant orphanages, plant hospitals, plant churches, win souls, teach people things like education and hygiene and business, like we've done in Western Kenya, right? Or I could get some hate software and I could say, chop their necks, search for them and kill them until behind every rock it cries out. Even the rock itself cries out, lo, there is a Jew behind me. I could fill you with that software. And such is the nature of the times that we are living in. May God deliver us from our enemies. But you know what? A cry has to reach heaven first. For this staff of wickedness to be removed in the way that God wants it removed, we have to stand strong. We have to make serious declarations in the realm of the Spirit. As for that hate stuff, return to sender in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that is in those hate doctrines, may the Lord return them to the senders in Jesus' mighty name. That's what I'm praying now. I mean, I'm even afraid of myself sometimes. There's sometimes something comes out of my mouth, the authority that comes behind it, I go, whoa! But Lord, may it be in Jesus' mighty name. It's time to rebuke nations. It's time to stand for the Lord like never before. Look at this, Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. If we can switch back now to the New American, that would be so kind. Joel chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war. Rouse the mighty men. Now, if you go back, sorry about this, to either the King James or the New King James, don't bother doing it because I'll just tell them. But where it says rouse the mighty men, in fact, some of you on your laps, you might have it. It says wake up the mighty men. So what does that mean? It means the mighty men are asleep. Isn't it easy to doze? Isn't it? How many of you have to try very hard to fall asleep? For some of you, you see, that's the issue, is that you're actually trying too hard. Yeah. I mean, as for me, my children, my wife is so jealous. God has gifted me, because I can go to the nations like, dong, 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 slot into a time zone like within 5 minutes. I remember I got off the plane in Dubai. I was preaching in Dubai over there. And I got off the plane and it was 2 a.m. Dubai time. So in 5 hours' time, I had to be up, ready, dressed, and sparkling, ready to do their miracle service over there. So I just put in my stuff, changed my clothes, got into bed, fell asleep within 5 minutes. Woke up, 7 a.m. Dubai time, crisp and even. Went out, preached an awesome message. I mean, people were healed, saved, delivered, you name it. It happened. And my wife is looking at me. She said, Paolo, I don't know how you do it. I fell asleep. I was winding them up big time the other day, because she's just about to go off to America and she still struggles with adjusting with the time, you know? And so I said, she was sat on the bed beside me studying the word, and I was just ready to rest. I said, my love, I said, do you think it's possible for me to fall asleep and wake up again in 15 minutes? She said, knowing you, my love, yes. And I did. Anyone ever done that before? You fall, isn't it wonderful? Oh, so refreshing. Cuts the day in half. I mean, I felt fresh as a daisy, ready to go out and do another thing. It's just a gift from God, right? Here's the trouble, though. We can get used to slumbering. We can get used to sleeping. The Bible says, what does it say? A little slumber. A little sleep. Now, can you imagine if a whole nation is asleep? What could come upon that nation as a result? And really and truly, this is where our nation is at right now. We've been asleep long time. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the soldiers draw near and let them come up for battle. Praise God. Verse number 10, beat your plowshares into swords. Now, you know what a plowshare is, right? That's the thing that you use for digging up the ground. And he says, hang on a second, the time for digging up the ground and looking after your own stuff isn't here. You've got to turn that thing into a sword. What's a sword for? Yeah. I mean, some, you know, they use it to shave their beard and everything like that when it's like really sharp. But really and truly, it's for fighting. It's for fighting. And there's a certain warfare you can engage in the realm of the spirit, that you can bind the hand of the enemy and their bombs don't go off. We've proved it. 21:7 is living proof that we can do this. but it takes people who are awake. It takes people who are aroused. It takes people who are ready to do spiritual battle and spiritual warfare. Every single one of those bombs on 21/7 failed. Every one of them. And when the Ministry of Defense, because they were called as a professional witness to show what would happen. I don't know if you saw the evidence footage that they compiled, that they put together a tube carriage and then they put together those bombs that those guys had and they blew the tube carriage to bits. So if those bombs had gone off, we'd have had tragedy upon tragedy. Or as Paul says in the scriptures, sorrow upon sorrow. But thank God they failed. Well, who says they can't fail again? Who says you couldn't be sitting right next to a person praying in the Holy Spirit and their stuff is loaded? They're ready to get that knife out and stab. I was praying against an attack yesterday because these things, when they pop up in the Spirit, you have to, it's like, I don't know if you saw when Pastor Ken Gott was here last time and that woman started manifesting. Do you remember? And I had her by the neck. You remember that one? Right. Okay. That's what you got to do with the devil. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, he says, put your foot on the devil's neck. So you've got to be like that in the realm of the Spirit. So when these things pop up, you've got to go after them and hunt them down, chase them down. And I was praying against a guy. I saw it as clear as day, and I thought it was Paddington train station because you know the way every train station looks different. I thought it was Paddington by the way the train looks, and I saw a guy. He wasn't attacking anyone on the train. He was waiting until the train pulls in, the doors open, and then he gets out on the platform and starts stabbing people in the morning rush hour. I saw it as clear as day. So I just put out a warning on Facebook yesterday. And just a couple of intercessors picked it up. Now, what's going to happen? Here's the problem, right? Stuff like that, it might not manifest. And I pray it doesn't. I would rather people think I'm a loon balloon and a fruitcake, right? Because I've got a prophetic file. It's that thick of stuff that I've prophesied that have come to pass. That's just the bad stuff. The good stuff's like this, thank God. But I would rather that thing never happen. And that people think I'm a nutter, and that the Holy Spirit and me and a couple of intercessors know that it didn't happen as a result, and that's that. Who cares? People are going to think I'm mad anyway. Like, I said it on Facebook the other day. I said, listen, God told me he's not going to judge me on the number of likes I had for my ministry. Let that one sink deep. Because do you remember that message I preached about, you know, some people think that you're their enemy, but really they're your friend? Nelson Mandela said it. He said, when a nation is sick, anyone who comes to its aid is looked on as an enemy. Mandela himself. Yeah. Because even his own people hated him. There's some people, like, if you look at the history of the nation of Israel, about when Promised Land was conquered and then the Midianites came and the Amalekites came and all these ites came and attacked Israel. The Bible says, and they oppressed Israel. And here's the pattern. They oppress Israel. They cry out to God. God raises up a prophet who then either brings deliverance or anoints somebody to bring deliverance, right? But the first thing that the deliverer needs to be delivered from is his own people. When Samson came up first, they said, hang on a second. No, these people have oppressed us. These Philistines have oppressed us for years. This is the way it should be. Don't rock the boat. When Gideon came and he started war against the Midianites who were oppressing him. You read your Bible, it's history. When Gideon came and he rose up against the Midianites, his own people said, hang on a second. No, please. His own dad was going to give him over. Yeah, so the first thing you need is may God deliver you from your own people. In the name of Jesus, I pray, I'm speaking prophetically to people. I can see like armor dropping in the realm of the Spirit. Like proper, full-scale armor that you can go to war on behalf of this nation. That you can war on behalf of righteousness and justice and peace in the Holy Ghost. Wow, does this nation need it more than ever? Hey, mommy! The trouble is, you see, sometimes you get happy in the dust. You get happy sleeping. all these things. I was thinking about this morning. Listen to this now. The Amalekite spirit. Do you know what the Amalekites used to do? When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were walking into the promised land, the Amalekites, in fact, Deuteronomy 25, you can stick it up there on the screen, Deuteronomy 25:17. The Amalekites, they would come and they would pick off the stragglers. Look at this, verse 17. He says, remember what Amalek did to you. You see, Amalek is alive and kicking, dudes. Because it's a spirit. The Amalekite spirit is as alive and kicking today as it ever was. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. Look, how he met you along the way, attacked among you who? All the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary. So there's a spirit that attacks Christians who are faint and weary. It's an Amalekite spirit, and it picks them off. Yeah. There's too much weak Christianity. I remember there was a very famous athlete, very famous. When I was this is me calmed down. Can you imagine what I was like when I was hyper? I mean, Lord have mercy. Talk about swinging the sword. And I remember watching this athlete on TV, and he was saying, you know, about how good it was to be a Christian and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't see strength in him. You know, and the Bible says in 1 John, he says, I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong. And the Lord lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. I didn't see spiritual strength in this guy. And it annoyed me. It was antagonizing my spirit. Why is this guy being put up as a hero who's a Christian, but he's a weak-spirited man? And then the next thing I hear, he's become an atheist. Well, good for you, dude. Become what you want. One day, books will be opened and you will stand before him no matter what you've been in life. That's what the Bible says. It is appointed for men once to die, and then comes judgment. And then I understood the attack plan of the enemy. Find a weak Christian, raise him up, and then lop his head off. May the Lord rebuke that. I hope I visit that guy in a vision one day. Scare the socks off him. Can you imagine if I appeared hovering? Hey, axe in hand. Lord have mercy. You see, this is the Amalekite spirit. If you're weak in your spirit, then you become a victim of Amalek. It's very easy. The devil can just pick you up and sweep you off. Now look at this next spirit here. Are you enjoying this? I'm loving it, man, but I'm just hoping it ain't too strong. You might need to go home, mix it with some water, and chill in the sun for a little while after. The next spirit, Pharaoh. Pharaoh. The spirit of Pharaoh is alive and well and living in London. Yeah, you go and look at how much of your wage packet is left at the end of the month. Pharaoh. Oppressing the righteous, forcing them to make bricks without straw. Weakening people so that they can hardly stand up straight. That's Pharaoh. He's an oppressive spirit. You want to go out away and worship God on an encounter or something like that for 3 days, and the first thing that's coming at you, Pharaoh. Pharaoh. I'd love to go, but I can't afford it. What's that? Because Pharaoh has swallowed all your money. It's a spirit. You've got to rebuke Pharaoh, and Pharaoh don't come out easily. You know how Pharaoh goes? Sacrifice. Trust me. I had to demolish that spirit in the name of Jesus. I had everything. Dude, I had everything going against me in life. Everything. There wasn't a thing that was for me in life. And Pharaoh was one of those spirits I had to destroy. And thank God I did it by sacrifice and determination. The Lord told me once, you know how he did it? He said this. He said, take your tithe. And don't tithe on what you're earning. He said, tithe on what you'd like to be earning. Amen. Dude, that was hard. It was about as hard as your clapping was there to hear. If you're going to clap, clap properly. Yeah. Take your tithe and tithe by faith and use it as a warfare. Dude, you want warfare? Go to war with the devil over your money. You'll find warfare. Yeah. You want a good fight? Just pick the right one. Hallelujah. Here's another one. The Midianite spirit. That's when the enemy thinks he's got you down and he thinks he can run all over you. That's the one that Gideon fought. And the Midianite spirit is a tricky one because it's like he'll pop up, destroy something, and then disappear. Do you ever see one of those things like, what do they call it? Whack-a-mole? He says, I don't know if you ever heard that, the thing that they were fighting, the counterinsurgency in Iraq, that there was a guy, it was a great interview on TV, the U.S. Marine Corps guy. He was just like real maniac, you know. I mean, you think I'm bad. You want to see these guys with real guns and real stuff. And he was on TV, and he said, because they were looking at all the devastation when the U.S. Army went into Iraq, and it was like, gosh, what are you guys doing? He says, well, he says, you know, if you want a tea party, call a bakery. He said, we kill people and break things. That's our job. You know, I thought, whoa, well, at least the dude's honest, you know. And he said, the problem with this thing, this insurgency, it's like playing whack-a-mole. You know whack-a-mole where the mole pops up and then you have to bash it with the hammer and then it pops up somewhere else? He said, we realized how we could beat this thing. He said, we bought a bunch of hammers. In other words, when this mole is coming up, boom, whack the thing. And that's what an Midianite spirit is like. It's like when you're going to sell, and this happened to somebody last week. I felt so sorry for her. I sowed some money into her life. It's like when you're going to sell group. And this was her first time going to sell, and she ended up with a puncture coming down on the M1. And my heart just went out to her because that's a Midianite spirit. For some reason, it used to happen to me a lot. I would go, particularly when I went to Benny Hinn's meetings, I would come home from Benny Hinn, my fridge was gone. Or my washing machine, or my tumbler dryer. It happened like 4 times in a row. And I said, right, devil, I'm going to become too expensive to mess with. The next time any of this happens, I'm going to take the cost of the replacement, double it, and put it on the altar. What's that? Whack-a-mole. Yeah, it worked. We've had nothing bust for ages now. Rora lives in our house. She'll tell you. That's the Midianite spirit. Are you ready for a fight? Yes. Good. Watch some of the things now we have to fight. Generational things. Anger. If you have an angry father, particularly father, because the Bible says we get our similitude from our fathers. In other words, there's something about our makeup, our emotional DNA. A lot of it comes from our fathers. If you had an angry father, chances are you're going to have to battle anger yourself. Get ready. And the sooner you battle it, the sooner you fight it, the easier it is. Trust me on that, right? Alcoholism. If you had an alcoholic father, you're 10 times more likely to suffer from alcoholism yourself. Fight it. Fight it now. Destroy that spirit. Take out your sword and fight. Take out the word of God and fight. Poverty. Hey! Anyone want to fight the spirit of poverty? Yes, yeah, an enemy from God. Oh, yeah, it's spiritual to be poor. No, it's really not. Like, read your Bible. Please read your Bible. No, it's good. It's good to be prosperous. It's good to have an overflow. It's good to abound in these things, that you can be a blessing. It makes you free to be what God has called you to be. Fight it. Fight poverty as though it was an enemy standing before you daily, before you go out the door. I remember with my wife, when she said to me something that almost sounded like blasphemy in my ears. She said, now you think about this, right? She was earning £17,000 a year working as a public relations assistant for Prince Charles's charity down in London, in central London. And she said, Paolo, she said, I think I've reached the height of my potential. You know what I did? I blocked the front door every day before she would go out to work, and I wouldn't let her out the door until she confessed the favor of God over her life. Because that spirit, it's like blasphemy in my house. I can't. C-A-N apostrophe T is a four-letter word. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, can't is a four-letter word. Yeah, you should forbid it. Forbid it. Criminality. Here's another one. Did you know if your father was in prison, you are 90% more likely to be in jail than the general population? If your grandparents were criminals, it's something like 98% more likely to become criminals. What's that? It's a spirit. It's a generational curse. Bible calls it the mystery of lawlessness. And you can sever the head off that sucker too. Amen. I think it's time to just do me a favor. Here's your homework, guys, right? We're going to close the service now, but here's your homework. Pick a fight with something in the next week. Awake the mighty men. Arouse that mighty man on the inside of you and come out fighting. Put the devil on the run in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet. We're going to thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless your holy name and we thank you so much for your word, how it's an inspiration to us. That, Lord God, we can indeed fight the good fight. That we can indeed pick up the sword of the Spirit, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, that we can gird our loins with truth and our feet with the readiness to preach the gospel of peace, that we can pick up the shield of faith, then quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and we can pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we can go to battle in your name for a better life, for a better marriage, for a better family, for better children, for better finances, for better physical health, for better mental health, for a better nation, for a better country, for better politics, for better outcomes for people. Lord, let it be so. Let your banner be raised and your glory be seen in the lives of your people, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people say, amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord this morning.